Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hello and welcome to the Gear of the Year podcast for 2021. I am your host, Joe Branton, joined this week by Matt Knight.
Hello there.
Adrian Thorpe.
How indeed.
And Mikey Demas.
Hello. Most out there way of saying hello ever, Poppy. I mean, you caught me off guard.
I properly stuttered.
You sounded surprised that I'd asked.
Yeah, no, I was, because I was writing something down. I was like, oh, yeah, write this down. Shit, my name's been called.
You said hello, like, you sounded like William Shatner then. You were like, how can I William Shatner this intro?
Welcome, dear listener, to the third part of Gear of the Year 2021. We're going to be doing now. If you haven't listened to the first two episodes, please go back. Don't start with this one; it's going to ruin everything for you. It'll be all out of sync. But you go back to the first two episodes. We do best guitar, best stomp box. We do best listeners and best Patreon's choice. This week, this is the last one before we do best overall. We're doing best amp modeler. Yes, that's right, dear listener. I have popped amps and modelers into one category because, to be honest, not very much has come out. Bit of a muted year. Of course, global pandemic. Who needs a big amplifier? Everyone's using plugins or, you know, bedroom amps or whatever. Certainly the most popular amp sold this year on Reverb.com was the Fender Micro Mustang, a headphone amplifier for £100. So, you know, that's the sort of bar that this year's run at. Very different this year. But let's, nonetheless, we've got a bunch of stuff. We're probably not going to do a top three, probably a top two for this, and unless people feel especially sort of strongly about third place things, because there's only a few. I've only made a list of 10 products, basically, that have made it into our amp list. So as with the previous episodes, I'm going to run down those products, then we're going to go round the room and see who favours what. So here we are. Let's start things off. Right, first of all, the Fender ToneMaster Super Reverb. Of course, the ToneMaster, whatever it was, what was the first ToneMaster?
Twin.
Won last year, or came second, I think, overall, didn't it? Or did it win? I can't remember.
It was in the top three.
It was in the top three overall last year. Certainly a fantastic product. Wonderful, wonderful that Fender are introducing their you know, coveted amplifiers in a modern, lightweight digital format with great sort of impulse response direct recording. And you've got access to all that wonderful vintage Fenderness without the unreliable volume controls and the ability to record them. It's just as much an amplifier in your bedroom running straight into a DAW as it is at a gig. And that is incredible. That is a wonderful thing that Fender have nailed, and nailed it even further this year with, of course, the Super Reverb A410. For goodness sake, everyone, it's £1,300. Wow. It's a 410. It's a Super Reverb. How hard were these to find or get hold of or maintain or gig or take upstairs? Now, portable and relatively affordable, and, you know, arguably one of the best sounding Fender amps of all time available in ToneMaster. That is exciting. I know we had a ToneMaster last time. Sorry, I know I'm supposed to keep this brief. I'm excited about the ToneMaster.
That's good.
Yes, it's okay. Next up, Harmony again. having done very well in the guitar range, Harmony introduced their own range of Tube amps. Now, they did release three, and I did select the smallest one, the H605, which is just a single 8 speaker combo with like just, you know, two 12 AX7s in the preamp, a 6L6, a single 6L6 in the power section. It goes up to 5 watts. It's got attenuation, does 1 watt, does 0.1 of a watt, does 0 watts for silent recording. It's just a gorgeous looking, cool, retro, with modern sensibilities, fun, wicked valve amp. Harmony absolutely nailing it, bringing something new to the table. Orange Super Crush 100. Orange absolutely doubling down on the success of their Crush series amplifiers with the Super Crush 100. It's got the proper front with, you know, the black and the orange controls that just have the symbols rather than the names. They've improved the look basically, and they've made this thing sound even better. Like, I can't believe they've made a solid state amp. So in a similar sense to what Fender are doing digitally, made a solid state amp just sound so absolutely quintessentially Orange. It's very good. Next up, the Boss IR200. Boss, sort of, again, almost late to the game behind Strymon's Iridium. The IR200 offers an awful lot more, very controllable, just the last word in kind of anyone who wants to go into front of house or as a recording solution, or just, you know, turning off the cab sims and running into an amplifier with a fantastic preamp. The IR200 is absolutely the solution. Next up, the Fender Micro Mustang, as I said, Reverb's biggest selling amplifier of 2021, a headphone amp with a bunch of effects and amp sims. I feel like I'm selling that short when I say it like that, but no, that is cool. 99 quid for a Fender quality headphone amplifier, that is a good thing. The Headrush MX5, Headrush finally getting on board with the idea of a smaller version of their pedal board, so with three individual foot switch controls and an expression pedal. Very cool. Mod Devices Mod Dwarf came out this year. So Mod Devices, fantastic company, listener, if you've not got involved in them. Open source software. So it's a modeling product, much like Helix and Headrush and all the rest. Only it's open source, so people are constantly adding new effects, new pedals, and incredibly versatile. You can create literally any possible signal chain you can imagine. It's you're not tied down to things like you are with most of the major multi effects. Walrus Audio, the Mako. I missed one. Then the Line 6 HX Stomp XL. Finally, the HX Stomp, obviously very successful. But can anyone actually tell me they could use it in a rig? They couldn't. You couldn't without a MIDI controller. So the Stomp XL introduces more foot switches, so you can actually use this thing with your other pedal boards and still be able to run additional pedals in it. Essentially, it's Line 6 Helix doing the Boss MS3. Of course, the MS3 came out in whatever, like 2016, and in my opinion, still absolutely one of the best bits of kit you can buy. But the HX Stomp XL, absolutely fantastic. It's what everyone wanted. It's a Helix that's not nearly a grand. Great, fine, perfect. Next up, the Walrus Audio Mako ACS1. I love that Walrus Audio have lent into this. They did this with their Reverb. They just went, so it's the same thing as the IR200, but they've gone, what do people really need? People don't want all this stuff that like Helix offer and things like that. They just want a Marshall Bluesbreaker, a Fender Deluxe, and a 1960s Vox AC30. So it is an IR-loaded modeling pedal with just rotary controls, no messing around with digital screens, and just the three best amps in the world. So it nailed it, Walrus Audio, brilliant. Next up, the almost missed from the list, and it's terrible of me to have missed it, but the Neural DSP Quad Cortex. I thought it came out last year, which is why I missed it off, but I was corrected. It did really land this year. So the Quad Cortex, certainly one of the most talked about, eagerly anticipated multi-effects and amp sim pedal amp things on the market. And finally, that's it. Yeah, that is the last thing. Those are the 10 products. Ooh. There we are. Okay, right. Where are we starting? Mikey, it's your turn. It's your turn to go first.
Okay. So I am going to begin by... just you describing what the Tomaster Super Reverb does. I didn't realise, because I flipped through the list and earlier, and I was like, okay, it's an amp. I didn't really realise that they had the ability to cab sim out the back straight into a door or whatever, which
you actually even get to choose what mics it's mic'd up with.
That's really cool because I think that's such an overlooked thing in guitar tone, and especially like IR stuff, is that usually get a 57 or a 41, and I loathe 57s, absolutely loathe them, so having some options is really cool. And I feel like it kind of answers the gap in the market where it's like, I want a modeler thing. Oh wait, I want an actual guitar combo. Why can't I have both? And I'm a big user of stuff that goes straight in because I record from home and do stuff like that. But then I also love combos and love amps. So it's really smart thing, to have a convincing cab sim with some options coming out the back of a really well made, established amp company who do it in a 4x10. That's pretty cool.
Yeah,
I shall have to look more into that series, because the I don't know that I want a 4x10 in my life, but if they did Tone Master Princeton, for example,
I think they're going to expand it into everything. I would be so successful
if they did a Super Princeton. I think I'd be all over that, because it's compact. You could gig with it, or you could mic it up in a studio, but also when you're at home you could just whack it straight into the door and have those sounds, like with the reverb and the and the trem on it. That would be wicked. So that's an honorable mention, I'd say. I'm gonna say my number three is actually harder than I thought it was going to be. Given that we've added something in today, I think it's sort of made it a bit more difficult. I'm going to go with the Walrus Audio Mako at number three, because I looked into what that thing can do. And as a person who is more shifting towards pedal board based solutions for travel, when we finally get back into being able to do things like do fly-in gigs and do that kind of thing. I mean, when that becomes a bit more certain, I'm sort of moving back towards having a pedal board only, and maybe even the idea for fly-ins of sacking off some backline and sacking off some amps for a minute. I'm entertaining that idea, and so I'm really open at the moment to solutions for that. And long story short, I think that this is the most guitarist friendly eloquent solution for that. That doesn't feel like I'm treading into unknown waters. Like I love the idea of the cab Zeus, and I love the idea of all these other things, but it's like, give me a pedal that does amp and cab in one, that doesn't require loads of thought to just get it up and running quickly. I don't really want to do menus and stuff for that, for a pedal board where you got pedals into some kind of amp cab sim solution.
Well, this is the thing. I don't tend to play with eight different amplifiers at the same time. I tend to play with one, and this does three of my favorites.
Right.
So you're just going to pick your favorite, surely, and just have that, right?
Exactly. And just sort of a set and forget, if you like. It's more of, I think this is a solution, a pedal, it's a solution to a problem that people have where they want to sack off some backline and they play with in-ears and go straight to front of house, which I totally understand. And it's just a good platform for doing that. So I'm going to put that in at number three for that. Number two is probably the hardest one here, because again, I didn't really realize that the Line 6 Helix Stomp or XL was covering the MIDI, or covering the problem that you mentioned, that people need to use it with a switcher with MIDI and that kind of thing to use its innards. I'm gonna stick with an actual amp here, and I'm gonna go with the Orange Super Crush for number two. Controversial.
Well, it's iZotope's holiday deals, and they've really pushed the boat out this year with three incredible bundles of some of our favourite plugins. The holiday bundle at only $49 includes Ozone Elements, Neutron Elements, RX Elements, and Nectar Elements, plus creative staples like Trash 2 and Iris 2, legendary exponential audio reverbs like Phoenix Verb and R2. The plugins on their Todd would be around $1,300 US, so this is literally unbelievable. If you don't use iZotope, this is a perfect place to start. Or you can elevate your production with the iZotope Holiday Bundle Platinum Edition. Upgrades include Ozone Standard, Neutron Standard, and now you can add industry-leading polish to your music alongside Nectar Elements and RX Elements, plus Trash 2, Iris 2, Stutter Edit 2, and more. Mix, master, repair, and create with ease using this versatile 11 plugin bundle. Over $1,800 US in value for only $99. And finally, the Diamond Bundle, upgraded to include Ozone Standard, Neutron Standard, Nectar 3 Plus, Neo Verb, and RX Elements. All the stuff that we use to make this podcast. Get yourself the gift you really want this year. The Diamond Bundle offers over $2,200 US in value, and all for just $149. Check out all of these deals and more over at iZotope.com, or follow links in the description of this podcast.
Hey,
I like the Rockover Mark III is probably my.
Yeah, that's what I associate that amplifier with you.
Oh, wicked. I'm going to tell Orange that. it's my favorite high gain amp. You know, it's I've used the Rockoverb for about 12 years now, I think 11, 12 years. And I go, you know, I try other things out and I always come back to it for that big, meaty, riffy sound. If that's your thing, if that's your poison, if you're, you know, if your tariff is doing big, meaty riffs, then you need an amp with a lot of headroom that can kind of inspire those kind of riffs and that kind of playing. And the Rockoverb for me, Mark III, is just the best head for that. And it's my understanding that the Super Grush provides a affordable means to do that for, you know, from a more bedroomy guitarist, or, you know, even you can gig with it. It's 100 watts, right? So it's got massive headroom, but you're not dealing with the cost and the inherent problems with that come with a valve amp. So
it does seem like they've nailed that. Like, yeah, they've nailed the Orange sound with this.
If I was entrusting somebody to design a solid state amplifier that wasn't shit, it would be Aid Emsley.
Yeah.
100% safe hands, David Seaman, you know, like, yeah, like, he's got my back. You know what I mean? It's always a no-brainer.
Yeah, exactly. Always trust a man who does a video for the new Orange guitars with his backy pouch hanging out of his pocket.
Exactly. He's like the guy, you know. And I haven't tried this amp, but I haven't heard it. I don't know a lot about it, but I'm confident that it's the most out of, on the list there. It's like, which, pick an amplifier. It's like, oh, the Orange one. The fact that it's a sort of more cost effective, solid state high gain amp doesn't put me off. I'm like, I bet it's killer.
Yeah, it is.
And I bet it's great. So that's going to be my number two. My number one is going to be the Neural DSP Quad Cortex by a country mile.
By a country mile.
Yeah, it's one of the greatest bits of gear I've ever bought in my life. Hands down.
Wow. Okay, what separates the Quad Cortex from... Because my thing with the Quad Cortex, I don't wish to play it down. I'm wishing to be convinced. You know, what's... Like, they're late to the game here. Mm-hmm. You know, we're talking about digital incarnations of real stuff. Like, mm-hmm, why would I buy that over a Helix?
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Well, I don't, I'm not hugely familiar with the Helix stuff. Like, it's not something, it's one of the only modelers I've not got my head into. I played Axe-FX for a long time.
Well, okay, yeah, I could use any of them. I mentioned Helix as it's the sort of, I guess, the most popular of, you know, out of GT, Helix, Axe-FX, mm-hmm. things like that. But yeah, I mean, what's, people have got very excited about the Quad Cortex, and I guess I've struggled to work out what makes this so much more exciting than all the other ones that do this.
Okay, so probably about 5 or 6 years ago, I was sitting in a festival field somewhere with my backline, and said to myself, I just want a fast... I was frustrated, all my shit wasn't working, and, you know, the backline wasn't working, all this stuff, and I said, I just want to fast forward to a place where my guitar rig is my iPhone. And I put on my iPhone, I want it to be this big, and I want to plug into this, just fucking take something like that around the world. That's where I want to get to. I'm fed up with this now. And Neural DSP have basically gone and almost done that. They've basically taken something that... They've basically taken the iPad, shrunk it down a little bit, and combined it with a really robust MIDI floor controller, if you like, and made it super, super responsive, intuitive, easy to program, great sounding, versatile, engineered to a fault, and expandable. And communities, it has a community-based sort of appeal to it, where people can share their own rigs, that kind of thing. I know that's not breaking new ground, the latter. I know that's been done before, but they've done it in a way where I feel others have failed in the past. The Axe-FX sounded great, but it was hard to program. You could only get them in certain places. No one knew how to program it. They superseded the hardware constantly and made it worthless. The Kemper is great, easy to program, but the effects in it are kind of what they are. They're kind of meh.
Yeah, it was a large IR.
Totally. It does. I don't think it ever claimed to be anything other than just amp modeler. But you know, the effects, for using it as a one box solution, it's like the effects are kind of like, you know, they are what they are. This thing, I haven't played with any of the Helix stuff enough to know it inside out. This thing, from a stereo imaging point of view, is very clever. In so much that you're able to run four musicians through it, four separate signals through it, and have four separate rigs running all at once. So you could run three guitarists and a bass player through one unit. Convincingly, have four separate rigs running all at once without it breaking a sweat. And, you know, if you're just a solitary guitarist or bass player using it, you can have multiple amp setups within it, and it not just be a case of just one sound straight down the middle. You can pan things in ways that you can have, you know, a Marshall straight down the middle and like a clean Fender on the outside. You could do all kinds of really cool stereo stuff with it that I've never really got my head into with other stuff before. This could all be stuff that you could do with a Helix. I don't know. But the being able to do it with your finger in that kind of Apple groundbreaking way feels really, really special with a piece of gear, and given, and also the added bonus of the foot switches actually being the encoder knobs themselves, where, you know, it's kind of how would Apple do a modeler. That's what they've tried to do, I think, and I think they've done a fantastic job. I was a big fan of all the Neural DSP stuff in plugin format. I've got all their plugins, I use them all the time for recording at home, for demoing, for writing. And just being able to beam that into a floor controller that's so easy to use. And it sounds great. I'm obviously a very big fan, and that's my number one without a shadow of a doubt.
Wonderful. Okay. Okay, cool. All right. Well, that was good. That was compelling.
I could talk about that one a lot, so forgive me.
No, that was good, because I was struggling to sort of find a three in this. Like, few things had really hit home with me, but I think I am going to put the Quad Cortex in at third, because yes, it sounds very exciting. I know Thorpe, you also have and use a Quad Cortex, so kind of that the fact that you're both into this product makes me want to get behind it. I love the look of it. I love Neural DSP as a company. I think they're great people. I love the plugins. I certainly use the plugins. My issue with Neural DSP is the same issue I have with Line 6, in that you are aware that there are other genres of music other than metal, and it would be great if there were some things that were suited to that. I appreciate Neural DSP did the Corey Wong as well. Like, yep. I know they've actually done a great job of making clean stuff. It's just that super clean jazz is actually well similar to the metal end of super clean, or almost, you know. There's no, I want some stuff that sounds like things that really exist, rather than jazz that wants to be super clean or metal that wants to be computer distortion. I want this thing in the middle, this rocky thing. And I think neither of those companies have ever quite, like, certainly for bass, like the newer DSP plugins have never quite been organic sounding enough for me. But
interesting, because they do the
Dark Glass, and they did they have another one that
Parallax as well is a really cool bit of kit as well.
Really great, but like Parallax especially, I could never make it sound like there were like mids even existed.
Right,
you know, like it was, and that was, but that was what it was for. You know, it was aimed at that type of player, and I felt like whenever I use their stuff, I feel like I'm not the person they're aiming at here, am I? Mm. And that's always been it's put me on sort of not thinking of the Quad Cortex. But you're right in the, like, I think this does sound exciting. I know they'll expand it. They're a fantastic company. And just through the fact that, almost outside of myself, in the fact that, you know, this has been so anticipated, the Quad Cortex has to go in at number three for me.
Cool.
In at number two, I am going to have to put the Boss IR200, simply because it's actually what I'm going to be recording with next week. I'm constantly in fear of not getting my bass parts down in a studio, and then having to try and, in this time I have in a studio, and then having to try and replicate that sound later on. The IR200 is a fantastic sort of Sansamp-esque solution to that, with loads of versatility. It's easy to control. The bass, the bass options on there, I appreciate, sorry dear listener, I'm thinking about it from a bass perspective, but the bass options, the guitar options are amazing, but the bass options are very good, super versatile, allow me to hone in a tone and save it very, very easily. I love the fact that I was able to introduce the IR200 into my pedal board, control it through MIDI, and actually use it as a drive pedal as well. Just, you know, it's switching it up based on my MIDI switcher. It's just a surprisingly versatile, very brilliant, excellent, like high quality sounding, simple IR pedal, and that's what I loved about that. And then in at number one, predictably, for how long I went on about it when I was listing the products, the Fender ToneMaster Super Reverb. It's a 410. It is a 410 combo that you can lift and gig and record with. It's everything I've ever wanted in an amp, all in one. It's all the vintage and all the modern, all in one thing. Super organic sounding. Totally rock and roll without the unreliability. Hey, it's a 410 guitar rig that you can tour and it won't break. That alone is surely amp of the year. But yeah, those are my top three. Quad Cortex, IR200, ToneMaster. Matt Knight.
So I'm going to be somewhat controversial here. And I sat and listened to everything on the Quad Cortex, and I just can't get excited about it. In any way, shape, or form.
Whoa, wow.
I just, wow. I, you know, And obviously, I work for a company that makes multifex, and I'm not against those. And I use a GT1000 core on my pedal board, but mainly as just an effects processor. And I've watched videos and got like halfway through, and I've looked at it and gone, it's very cool, and I can see exactly like why. And you know, I think Mikey made some good points about it, but I'm just like, I'm struggling only because I think I'm going to struggle to put three products in the top three. This year has been a really odd year, I think, on amps and modelers for me. Amps especially, because I was like, looking at the list going, surely there must have been more, and there really hasn't been. It's been such a bizarre year for amplifiers. So I'm going to go from one to three and see where we end up. So one for me is the same as you, Joe. It's the Tone Master Super Reverb. Loved the Tone Masters when we talked about them in Gear of the Year a couple of years ago. And the Super Reverb's the one, unless they decide to do a Super 6, for me, the Super Reverb is the one. I mean, that's just such an amazing amp. And it's just unobtainium, I think, for most people.
Unobtainable.
No, unobtainium. you know, that really rare material. I just think, yeah, no one's going to get the chance to play a real one. And I think it's so cool that they've been able to do it, and it's super lightweight, and it's got that same vibe and character, and you can record with it. I think that's really cool. And as a pedal platform, I think it's an amazing bit of kit. So for me, if I was going to buy one, I'd definitely want the Tone Master.
Guitar Nerds are teaming up with Music Nomad. Since 2010, Music Nomad Equipment Care has been making premium and innovative guitar care products used and trusted every day by top guitar repair shops, guitar makers, and touring techs in over 40 countries. Pro quality but affordable, Music Nomad is also the go-to for countless guitar players around the globe to help guitars look, sound, and play their best. After 2 years of research and development, and in a collaboration with top guitar repair shops, Music Nomad has developed the Keep It Simple Setup. They demystified the guitar setup process by developing innovative precision gauges and tools combined with step-by-step general guidelines anybody can follow and set up their guitar to play and sound great. With their KISS method and their gauges, you can check the vital areas of your guitar and use their toolkits to perform your own setups. They have a 24-page instructional booklet available in 7 languages, downloadable for free, loads of how-to videos, as well as complete setup video tutorials for popular brands such as Fender, Gibson, Taylor, PRS, and more. Not only is it fun, but a properly set up guitar takes your playing and sound to a whole new level. Learn more at musicnomadcare.com. Follow them on social media with @musicnomadcare and kiss your guitar with Music Nomad's Keep It Simple setup.
Second, there was no caveat that I couldn't pick my own product, so I am going to pick the IR200 only because...
that is such a con.
Shocking. That is shocking. Shameless.
I know, but I have used it more than anything else, and it's a fantastic product, and I've convinced Joe Branton to use it, so, you know, I feel like I've won a war.
That was going to be on my list, to be honest with you, and then the Walrus Audio pipped it at the post just because I feel like it's slightly more... less going on in it. It's slightly simpler. And obviously the inclusion of the quad cortex messed the whole thing
up.
Yeah,
I think...
That knocked it off the number three spot for me.
I think the one thing for the IR200 that wins for me, and the reason I've been using it, is actually as an interface, because I don't like using plugins. And even though the sound quality is just as good in the plugins as it is in the pedal, there's something I feel personally about having like the physical connection with like a guitar pedal rather than like something on screen. And I like the fact that you can reamp and everything with it, which is a real big bonus for me compared to a lot of the other ones. The fact that you can go over USB and you can play some stuff and then you can just reamp on it. I think that's really cool. After that, I am really struggling.
You don't have to pick a third.
But
I think we might do a top two, depending.
But
like,
I am... If I had to put one of that list in a top three, purely because of the impact it's made in the market, not necessarily because it's my favourite product, I would have to say the Quad Cortex, because it's undeniable how much it's impacted guitar players.
That drove my decision as
and
well, to be honest.
To be honest, you can't deny someone like Rabea using it at a headline, you know, at Reading, you know, that straight into anything. It just sounded amazing. It doesn't, certainly doesn't, you know, it's not what necessarily excites me, but what excites me is plugging 3 amps into a looper pedal and droning on a reverb for 3 hours. So, you know, different strokes.
What I would say about, I would just challenge the one thing you said about it. And granted, I didn't sit there with it and go through all the presets and go, oh, wow, I'm sold. Building sounds from scratch in that thing is where it's at.
Yeah.
That's the jam. Just like any other kind of multi-effects, modeler, blah, blah, blah. The first thing I would do is go through and turn off all the reverbs, turn off all the effects, turn off, because it's trying to, it's shaking its tail feather at you. And it's like, I'm not interested in like parallel delays and massive cavernous reverbs. I want a convincing amp and I want a juicy little sort of spring reverb or like a tremolo thing or something. It does all the little Fender amps really well. Does more than just the metal stuff, because granted Neural's plugins are very metal orientated. They've got a couple of others, like you said, Corey 1-1 and a couple of others, but the amps in the box of the Cortex a lot more versatile than that. I would say that.
I think I'm going to get one and just to try it. Well, I'm not going to buy one. I mean, I'll ask the company for a loan.
You'll steal one.
Yeah, I'll steal one.
Steal one off the back of a truck like I did.
Yeah, exactly. So, okay. So there it is. So Matt and I have the same top three Tone Master IR200 Quad Cortex. Thorpey, it's up to you. It's up to you.
No pressure. To I don't feel the pressure. It's fine. Number three. I'm going to rattle through this. Harmony H605. Why? Because it looks like a really cool lamp that could go in your front room. That's literally it. It looks cool. It like 5 watts, all valve. Mm-hmm. Yeah, nice. I really like that.
I love that you chose that. I regret not choosing it.
Fair enough. I mean, I don't think I could say really much more, but that's it. That's
But that's it, isn't it? It's just dead simple and dead cool.
That was going to go on my list before Quad Cortex turned up and ruined Christmas.
Well.
Just FYI, just saying, it's going to be in there, because I like you. I just think it looks great. It looks super vibey.
So second for me, I was torn for the same reason really between these two products, and it was the Headrush MX5 and the Orange Super Crush. Orange Super Crush, just because I love the orange sound and I like the idea that is 100 watts and you know, and it emulates a rock reverb. However, that didn't make the list. The reason the Headrush MX5 has made the list is, as a parent, that would be like, you know, I've seen a lot of money, $399, but if I was, you know, going to get my son a sort of modeler, I think that one's really good value. And, you know, it's got a built-in wah pedal as well. And
the touch screen, I think, makes a great argument for like being a really modern, you know, modeler as well.
Yeah, exactly. And compared to the Line 6 stuff, I mean, no offense to Line 6, that is dated. And the reason I say it's dated is it is slow. When I've owned a Helix, I've owned a Kemper, I own a Quad Cortex, and I use the Neural plugins. I've also had a go on the Headrush stuff, and the Headrush stuff's really good value. I can't really fault it. And I think as someone, you know, rather than going out and dropping a grand, 2 grand, whatever, on modeler, $399, and that could probably cover most bases for a lot of people up to a really good size gig.
You know what? We always, the Headrush is always in the shadow of Helix for us here on Guitar Nerds. I think because, you know, it seemed like their products always came out a couple of months after and were just a tiny bit clunkier, or maybe didn't have enough. Like it took them 2 years to put a shimmer reverb on their first one. You know, it's like they always seemed a little bit slow off the mark.
You should have left it off. You're right.
Yeah. But I agree with you. Like at $399, now this is the point where Headrush get interesting. It wasn't at the £1,000 price tag where they had a lot of strong competition. And you know, whatever you think about Helix, like there are a lot of pro players using Helix, and that's a great testament to the product. There ain't so many using Headrush. But when you get down to the $399 price tag, you know, that's a It's value for money right there.
Yeah, and also, look, there's a reason why lots of people are using Helix. Aside from the fact it's a good product, it's marketed by Yamaha. Yamaha are everywhere, right? If Headrush had Yamaha's marketing budget, you'd see them everywhere as well. And I think they're a victim of the fact that they're only a certain size.
Yeah.
And, you know, so that's why I like it. I like the touch screen. It's great. Now, I'm going to both put the Quad Cortex into number one and also rail against it at the same time.
Okay,
look. Quad Cortex, what everyone's missed here is the fact that its USP is linked to the way that it works. It's the clever bit about this, and actually this has been discussed on, like, Bro Rogan's podcast, and it's to do with artificial intelligence and machine learning. Okay, that is where this is different. It isn't passive in and of itself. They use artificial intelligence and machine learning to ensure that what it learns about the sound that you model through it is as accurate and biomimetic, i.e. it sort of mimics how we hear sound. And that's the clever bit, okay? That's its USP.
That's the science.
That's the science. And that's why that product is revolutionary. That's why that product stands alone. Arguably, Kemper, the amps and the usability of the Kemper is better for a live situation at the moment because it works.
Kemper also has a thing where it's you know, it's been around a long time, so it's so universal. Like, you know, we were talking before this about the studio that I'm going to next week to record. That studio have Kemper profiles that you can download from their website of every amp they have there.
Great. And you know, Kemper's amazing, and it's kept up with the times. It took far too long to get a user interface that was on a PC or on a Mac or whatever, and they should have done that from the bloody off. But, you know, and that's the failing for Kemper for me. Quad Cortex has that. However, it needs more work. I disagree with Mikey. I think the effects are poo.
Interesting.
I didn't say that they were great, the amps themselves.
I didn't say that the effects were great. It's just that I know that on the Kemper, I would say they're not great. And I feel like the Neuro DSP is probably a step in the right direction as a Kemper.
Yeah, possibly. I mean, I can't argue against that, really. I mean, it's like a rubbish version of Sophie's Choice, which one's got the worst effects. So I like the plugins that Neuro make. I wish they would hurry that up and just allow me to use those plugins on the Quad Cortex.
Oh, can you not? Are those plugins not on the Quad Cortex?
Not
is
yet.
It different? Right.
I think it's the same modeling. The Soldano's in there for sure.
But
the Corey Wong, any of the artist stuff?
Not yet.
No, but I don't know that they are.
They said they're gonna.
Yeah, okay.
But they haven't done it. And I'm like, well, hurry up. I just want to use them because those plugins are so good that I want to be able to use them in the Quad Cortex. And there's a few other glitchy things with it. The user interface is a bit clunky. It could be smoothed out a little bit. And the ability to, like, you go to someone's rig and you go, oh, I'd like to download that because that sounds amazing. They've set up this amazing rig. You download it, and it might have changed in the latest software thing, but I've been on holiday, so I haven't checked. And then if you don't have those amps, it just blocks them off. Well, what's the point? And you can download those amps. So just make it so that I download someone's rig,
it brings downloads the amps,
brings the amps and the effects with it. Don't do that rubbish job of going, oh, you haven't got those. Because then I have to go and try and find them, but they don't marry up with the rig, and so that download is useless.
Right, interesting. Right.
So Quad Cortex, it just needs a little
great
bit more
idea,
work.
Needs some refining. Here's my thing, and I don't want to, because, you know, in fairness, I did move from Helix to Boss GT, which is, you know, what I use as my modeler now. But everything you seem to describe that's not great about Quad Cortex, I feel like something that Helix really has nailed.
Yeah, Helix, the user interface is amazing. It's just slow now.
Right, mm. right. I see.
Okay. I mean, no, not to be unfair to Matt, I love Boss products, but the GT series, the user interface, mate. Oh, my word.
Yeah, I love the GT for sonically. That's what like it was a learning curve in comparison to everything else, but sonically I think the GT has it.
Matt's literally just falling on a knife right now.
No,
just
it's full on, like, no, it's
he knows.
It's a fair comment. I mean, the thing I would say for me, and I am going to be biased, but I still just think that there's a feel thing to the GTs. It's like when you dial them in,
I agree.
They just feel so good, you know, and I think that's what's great. And then I'd look at things like Quadtorto and just go, it's basically a computer, it's basically a MacBook with foot switches on it, which is both great and not great. For
that's
me.
What Mikey wanted.
Yeah, that's exactly what he wanted.
Do you know what? And then I think they would make no bones about the fact that they're massively inspired by Apple design products. And what I would say is that very much so, whenever I've sort of got tactile with a Helix or a Kemper or an Axphex, it feels like Android. And then when you move to this, it feels closer to Apple.
Yeah. I think,
and just from an interface point of view, and you know, the great thing about multi effects, for want of a better expression, is all the stuff you can do with it. The bad thing about multi effects is all the stuff you can do with it, and all the pages and buttons and buttons and buttons, which is what I hate about the Axe FX. This is closer to that iPod thing where it's like one button to rule them all. Mm. Where it's like when you're actually on the fly in the studio making decisions quickly and trying to get stuff done, and you just need a reverb on that amplifier. It's there. It's instant. You can dial it in, and the knob is that you don't have to go through paint. It's just there.
That is what I liked about the GT in comparison to the Helix, though, right. Because like when you go to the Helix, it's like, oh, I want a clean amp, and the Helix is like, okay, we've modeled this 1967 Fender amp, and also this 68, this 72, this 74, this 78, this 82, this modern Fender, like it. That's Helix doing clean, and they release a new amplifier or new stuff every week. Whereas on the GT, Boss are like, this is our Fender style clean amp, and that's what you've got, and it sounds great. And you don't end up trying out 20 things to see the subtle differences. To see, you know, there's no point. It sounds good, and that's what I liked about GT. It took away the option paralysis that I felt Helix had.
Mm. Right.
Again, we you know, we've gone off sort of talking about Quad Cortex, but
I guess the last thing I would say, perhaps just to kind of come at the end, is you know, would you use it live as a foot pedal? Or
absolutely not. I'd have it in a rack.
Yeah, and I think
that's just me. Even though I know it's been engineered, where they did like that video, like an IKEA mattress getting pounded for years on end, it's like where there's a hammer just hitting the buttons and it still works after 100,000 smashes or whatever. Brilliant. It's not so much that I'm not worried about me. I'm worried about everyone else. I'm worried about a pint that gets thrown from the back, you know, halfway through the crowd, landing at my feet, and that
all
being
of your sounds being done.
As a rule, I don't have any audio on stage as is. Everything lives off stage, and everything's done by MIDI, like with controllers, because, you know, it's like having a keyboard and mouse on stage, which you can replace if you need to, versus having something which actually makes audio. Everything's off stage. So if I was going to, I would have two of these things in a rack, a main and a spare, and have them talking to each other. I wouldn't tread on anything that makes noise, just because of the breakages point of XLR cables coming out the back of things into PA. It's a nightmare. Yeah. I just wouldn't do it. My OCD wouldn't allow it.
Okay, so, well,
it's number one for me, but all those caveats.
Yeah, that's. I mean, that is the most negative assessment of a number one product I think we've ever had.
Just think it's objective. I mean, I could turn around and go, oh, you know, it's amazing. I can be blinded by the fanboy stuff. And here's the thing. That company's doing some incredible things. Mm. I, you know, they're very inspirational. I wish I had half the capacity that they do for, you know, intellectually. But you know, they're not perfect.
And
I think, you know, if this ever got back to Doug, I'd love him to listen and go, yeah, right, fair point. Or, you know, tell me why I'm wrong. I'm happy.
I think I'd like to see you and Doug arm wrestle, actually.
Yeah. Is he a big unit, is he?
Yeah. I'd pay to see that. That would be like...
Do you know what? I don't like arm wrestling because the risk of snapping forearms is just horrendous. Indeed.
Okay, maybe a headlock competition then.
Yeah, that sounds good. Yeah.
Okay, so that does put, like, we do, that puts a clear top three nonetheless, which we can now discuss. It puts in third place the Boss IR 200, as Matt and I both put it in second place, but neither Thorpey or Mikey, you didn't have it score at all. It puts the Fender Tonemaster in second place again, because Matt and I had it in first place and Thorpey and Mikey didn't score it at all. And it has the Quad Cortex in first place, because it was first place for Thorpey and Mikey, and then it was third place for both me and Matt. So I think we have to agree it's the one product that's scored across the board. The Quad Cortex has to win this category.
I think just in the context of the list of this year, I think it's a really, really solid product for the price, what you get, what it does. It's there's nothing else on this list which knocks that, the ability of what this thing can do and how it does it off the list. But in the universe with other things that came out in other years, it's like, yeah, there's other better things.
And that's
that might
what
be
we ended
nicer.
Up talking about. But yes, I agree. I always end up thinking about what was important. What would 2021 be remembered for? Like, you know, we still look back, Matt, on those early Gear of the Years, and despite them maybe not having success after, I will always remember like Gear of the Year 2013 as being the Squire Vintage Modified Base 6, because at that time that was a remarkable product to come out. We hadn't had a Base 6 since the Beatles made, you know, Abbey Road. And I feel that this Quad Cortex is a product that needs to be remembered. You know, it was an important marked thing, just like the Tone Bender was when we were talking about effects.
And just from like a visual point of view, you know, I do feel like sometimes with some of the other modelers on the market, visually they're copying each other. They're copying each other, you know, like Line 6 proudly claimed that everyone's trying to look like them. Like the axe effects has gone towards looking like Line 6. Mm. The head rush stuff looks like Line 6. It's copycat sort of stuff. Whereas this is like trying to stand on its own two feet and doing its own thing. Granted, it looks like a MacBook with foot switches.
Very appley feet.
But I think they would admit that, you know?
Yeah. Okay, well, we agree. Quad Cortex definitely in at number one for best amp stroke modeler this year. That at the moment leaves the Fender Tonemaster Super Reverb in at two and the IR200 in at three. But Thorpey and Mikey, neither of these products scored for you at all. Are you happy with that? Were there any arguments against either of these products? Can you convince any of us to change out of these two?
I don't think so. I mean, look, the reason I haven't commented on the IR200 is because I just haven't got experience of it. And that's
fine. Same.
I'm sure it's amazing, but I don't need it. I'm not going to use it, so I feel like I haven't got an opinion on it. Now, with regards to Tonemaster, I don't really get that product, if I'm honest.
Really? Right.
Yeah.
Do you mean the range entire? You're not into the sort of digital replications of... Because it is dressing up a digital amp as the real thing, I guess.
Yeah.
Is that the issue?
So a lot of the benefits of a digital modeler are logistical, right? Yeah. Mikey can fly with one in his backpack, land in another country, not have to go through all of that crap of having it imported and having to have carnets and all the rest of it. He can just literally put it in his bag. Or even better than that, he can have a USB, plug it in, one's on the stage, he's good, right? Now, this amp is silly because you've got all of the negatives of the valve amp because it's heavy, because it's got four speakers in, it's got four 10-inch speakers in.
It's neodymiums.
Yeah, but how heavy is it?
It's still going to weigh a bit, though, yeah, granted.
Yeah, sure.
Right, you're not going to stick it in your pocket or your backpack, are you?
No.
Right, it's bulky because it's got four 10-inch speakers in it, and it doesn't have all of the... You can sacrifice those things, and you go, all right, it's bulky, it's slightly heavy, but, hey, it sounds good because the valves are singing, it's, you know, all the rest of it. It's just one of those products where like it's going to be out of date within, and it's going to be, it's not going to be popular within 10 years. It'll just be like, oh, what's that? No one's going to covet it.
Oh God, I haven't thought about this. I feel like you've torn open some sort of
the longevity argument. Yeah,
yeah,
it's good point.
In some ways, and this is very controversial, I feel the same about the quad cortex. I just feel in 10 years, right, people should be like...
yeah, but yeah, okay, yeah, actually, I'm going to go, yeah, we can't do longevity arguments on digital stuff, but not just because we think they're not going to last long, because we literally don't know. The last time we saw digital stuff, it was shit. This is the first time digital stuff has been good. I mean, how long has Kemper lasted? How long has... Helix lasted. Kemper's, that's a decent.
It's, yeah, the Kemper came out in 2011, I think 2010. I mean, that's,
and it's still an industry
changed.
Standard.
It hasn't
still,
changed
exactly.
Yeah. And
it's I'm still... talking package wise. I'm not really talking about longevity and that you know the digital thing is going to be superseded.
Right. Yeah.
So that was a loud bike.
Yeah. There's a fella around this time. He must live nearby. He just rides around in circles. He'll be round again in a minute.
Like, he wants to hear about why I don't like the Tonemaster. That's what he's after. it just reminds me of like a Line 6 Spider, and I'm really sorry to say that. And I see why it suits other people. Don't get me wrong, the Spider was great, and the Spider Valve was great for its time, but. I think there needs to be a proper delineation of product, because if you go modeler, I get all the benefits of it. I get the sounds. I go direct in, wonderful. If you are a valve purist, you go the other way and you go, right, I'm going to put up with all of the misery. It's like riding a motorbike that's a chopper. No one rides a chopper because it's comfortable. They ride them because it looks cool. And the same with a superbike. You're not riding that thing because it's going to get you 500 miles on one tank. You're riding it because it's going to get you there in like 5 minutes after you've had 6,000 stops for fuel. As a product on its own, it's confusing to me.
Right. Understood. Okay. That is a good argument. It's convinced me to flip round my IR200 and Tonemaster, but that doesn't actually change the lineup. It still has the quad cortex in at number one. It just means that the IR200 and the Fender Tonemaster Super Reverb tie in second and third with 5 points each.
Probably a good place to leave that.
Yeah, so that's where that lies, dear listeners. So in at third place, in at joint second and third place, the Boss IR200 and the Fender Tonemaster Super Reverb. And first place for best amplifier of 2021, the Quad Cortex, the Neural DSP Quad Cortex. Wow, there it is, ladies and gentlemen.
I feel like that's going to be controversial. I feel like there's going to be a lot of flack for the quad cortex coming in. I think like there's going to be a revolt.
I mean, one amplifier coming in the amplifier list, top three. Yeah. And that one basically just got shit on for the whole last 10 minutes of the podcast. Yeah, great.
Sorry.
Okay, I mean, that's fine. That's fine.
Oh,
okay.
My God.
Well, that's it then. We have got a top three in everything. We're going to do one more part, dear listener, where we're going to crown, it's going to be much shorter, but we are going to do one more part nonetheless, where we're going to decide the best overall product of 2021. So for that list, we're going to be choosing between the best guitars, which are the Reverend Gristle 90, the Harmony Comet, and the Fender Noventa. Then we've got the Neural DSP Quad Cortex, the Tonemaster Super Reverb, and the Boss IR200, the Fake Plastic Trees by Audio Kitchen, the Angry Rhubarb by Redbeard Effects, and the Boss Tonebender. Those are going to be the products that we are going to have to break down into a top three. It's going to be a super short episode for us to decide those, but nonetheless, tune in tomorrow for the finale of Gear of the Year 2021. Thanks very much. You've been lovely. We've been the Guitar Nerds. Farewell.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.